Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. It's the voice of the people with Dean Geronimo and Mark Lee. Mark, what's good with you this evening, my brother?
People and all of that fun kind of stuff. So, you know, that's just what's been going on. And, of course, we had the street festival, CineFest, which is, you know, every city, just about everywhere in the country has a street festival with all kinds of music and art and nonprofits. And, of course, their own political season, the political candidates out there doing that campaigning and things of that nature. So we had this weekend, nice large crowd. Yours truly did some of the MCing. And we just had a good old time and heard some good music, all kinds of music, everything from some jazz to some blues to some music that probably had a little bit of rockish influences and maybe even some that had some R&B influences. You know, it was just one big old street party, and folks definitely looked like they were enjoying themselves. It was a little bit on the toasty side, so lemonade people were definitely glad because they were making plenty of money. As with somebody, but, and, of course, there were some beer vendors, so I'm sure that they were making some sweet sales, too, since, you know, anytime it's a little bit cool, then you need a little bit of a cool. Anytime it's a little bit warm, I should say, you need a little bit of a cool beverage. So I can definitely understand what was going on.
He said, depending on where your taste buds lie, it could be the lemonade, or it could be a little beer, or sweet tea, or whatever you had out there to quench that thirst, huh?
That's right. There was various things that could quench that thirst. But, you know, speaking of things getting hot, I know you've been following the news, and I saw that St. Louis was getting hot again. They had protests, and, you know, I've been out in the street sometimes when they've done those protests, and I know that chant very well, whose streets, our streets, and it looks like the police decided to do a bunch of arresting and turn the chant back on the protesters. So I'm not feeling too well about that, you know, because that's the chant that I've even led a couple of times, trying to just let folks know that, you know, part of a just society is making sure that everybody has a right to the streets and a right to speak their mind and everything. So I can understand they're having the freedom of speech to say it, but I don't know how I was feeling about them kind of like turning that phrase after they made about 80 arrests or something, because that police officer was, I believe, acquitted, and the folks in St. Louis did not like that. So I'm going to have to get Carl back on the show since, as you know, we've had him on before, and he's from the St. Louis area, so we're going to have to get him back on to see what he's got to say, because I'm sure he's still in touch with the people from the St. Louis area. So hopefully we'll hear from him in the near future, and he can tell us what's going on in the community. But that was going on this weekend. And then the other thing is that I thought it was really a trip was I was turning on my TV. It was either yesterday or today, and there was an ad for this thing called Trumpy Bear. And yes, it is a bear. It's called Trumpy Bear. It's a teddy bear.
Uh-huh.
It's got a flag in it, and the hairline is orange. So, you know, it sounds like it's a salute to that person that they call president. But it's called Trumpy Bear, and I think they only wanted like $19.95. I'm not rushing to get it. I'm thinking, from what I know about you, that you're not rushing to get it either. But, you know, there's this
people that have. That. Somebody bought it, though. I guarantee you somebody brought probably about three or four of them. I bet you they did.
So you think somebody went out there and bought some Trumpy Bears?
They may have, man. I wouldn't even want something as a gift like that. I would give it back.
You would hand it back to
like,
the people?
Hey, look, man, that's not my flavor. You know what? You go ahead and you can keep that gift. I understand it's a thought that counts, but obviously you don't think much of me to give me something like that. You know what I mean? Just as my thought, like. But somebody's going to capitalize off of it because somebody's going to buy it. Yeah.
Somebody's going to buy that trophy bear. I don't know who's going to buy it, but somebody's going to buy that trophy bear. And, you know, the other thing that was a trip is that, you know, a while back we had all this conversation about whether Hollywood and television land and everything else is being supportive enough of the African-American community. If the Emmys are any sign, I think that we're getting recognized, at least this year, because I saw this on Facebook. Somebody posted it, and then I read an article, and it looks like we were just cleaning up all kinds of awards, you know, writing awards, acting awards, just all kinds of awards at this year's Emmys. So, you know, some of those protests may have done good and had the TV industry take a look at itself and honor some sisters and, I believe, a brother or two as well that definitely needed to be honored and get some recognition. So I was glad to see that TV land is cooperating.
Well, I mean, we got some talent now. So we've always had talent. We always had talent. So it's not something new. But I think, you know, they probably decided to really take a look and not play as much of a favorite as they had been doing.
Yeah.
Know? And now they realize, hey, look, there's some good activism going on past the people that we've been conditioned to pay attention to. You
right.
Know? So it that's a good thing.
Yep, and I was glad to see that not just TV was paying attention to apparently the fact that they needed to diversify, but I was also reading in today's paper that apparently Rihanna made a big splash during New York Fashion Week, and the fashion industry as well has been paying attention to the fact that they needed to honor people, and not just of various colors and things of that nature, but they were also paying attention to the size issues as well, because apparently they were going out there and making a concerted effort to try to have people of various sizes and various things of that nature that were reflecting all of our society, not just part of our society, but all of our society. So I was glad to read that in the paper that apparently Rihanna made a very big splash at the New York Fashion Weekend. That's an event that I've had friends that have I think one or two that might have gone to it and some that have talked about going to it. So it sounds like it's always an interesting and spectacular event. So one of these days I'm going to try to make it to that as well. You know, it's on my bucket list of places. But what USA Today said was it was Rihanna's week, and we were just happy to be there, starting with her Fenty Beauty makeup launch party and continuing a few days later with her jaw-dropping BMX-themed Fendi X Puma fashion show that turned New York City's Park Avenue Armory into a motocross rally.
Okay.
So she had all kinds of stuff going on. Said that it hit the sweet spot of well-executed clothing, solid dose of celebrity, and inclusivity that feels like the future of American fashion. So it looks like even the folks in the fashion industry are recognizing that we definitely have a strong part of that, and so that was great to see that they are acknowledging the role that the African-American community plays in the fashion industry, both in terms of creating some of these fashions, but also in terms of inspiring these fashions as well. So that was real good to see that they definitely acknowledge that.
And definitely congratulations to Sterling K. Brown for the lead winner of the lead actor of a drama series for This Is Us. That's on NBC. And also Donald Glover, who's also known as Childish Gambino, for lead actor in a comedy series for Atlanta, which comes on FX. So shout out to those brothers as well.
Oh, yeah. They definitely deserved it and definitely deserved getting that kind of acknowledgement. So that was definitely great to see that things like that are going on and that people are definitely being recognized, whether it's in the TV industry or, like I said before, in the fashion industry as well. Because, matter of fact, they said Rihanna wasn't the only one to achieve the winning formula of inclusivity, celebrity, and great clothes during Fashion Week. Said Christian Siriano, staged a show Saturday that was fun, largely thanks to Leslie Jones' effervescent presence and commentary in the front row, which felt like watching the presentation with your BFF screaming, "Yes, work." So, you know, apparently she was giving a little bit of commentary as well. So that was going on. And then they said that Huffman attributes the energy to Seriano's diverse models and guests who encompassed a variety of body sizes, races, and gender. Every person in that audience, man, woman, and this time everybody had someone they could be like, "Yes, girl, I see myself," she said. And that's what we need across the board. So she was definitely letting folks know that she was glad that this was going on, but this is something that needs to be going on an even more widespread kind of recognition. So that was definitely good to see that kind of statement being made. And they said that one of the other people had a wide range of models styled with their natural hair that included everything from afros and dreads on men and women, chopped locks and it says that the man had afros and dreads, and the women had chop locks and free-flowing waves. So the collection delivered with a glittering homage to New York with satin slips and leather jackets, perfect additions to any brightest young thing's wardrobe. So it definitely looks like they were making a concerted effort to try to make it as diverse as possible.
Yeah, and also salute to Dave Chappelle, who won the award for guest actor in a comedy series for his appearance on Saturday Night Live. So I guess he's back.
Yeah, I think he's back. He is definitely
and also,
back.
Yeah, and Donald Glover did win the other one, too, for directing in the comedy series for Atlanta. If you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out on FX. It should be back, I guess, later on this year or at the beginning of next year. Nice little show, man. So, you know, take a look, check it out, support.
Yeah, we definitely got to support all of those folks that are out there doing things and making great roads in the entertainment field as well as whatever other fields that we are making roads in, whether that's entertainment, politics, or whatever. Because I know that actually in a few days we will start our early voting here in the Durham area. So, you know, we've talked about our mayoral candidates, and we've got, I think it's a total of either 6 or 7 running to be mayor with about 3 primary front runners. But the early voting will start in, I believe, about a day or two, and then the actual primary will be October 10th. And then the two folks that are in the lead in both that as well as our we do city council wards, so the two that are in the lead in the ward races will then go into the general election. So by November, we should know who our new mayor is, since our existing mayor, who's been here forever, at least been here for a very long time, has agreed that he is not running this time, and it's going to be new blood, whoever wins. And we've also got some people that will probably be maybe some incumbents that will win the city council races, or maybe some new blood in that as well. So we're all just waiting to see. Of course, they've gotten endorsements from their various groups that do the supporting and things of that nature. So we've got these different action kind of committees that make endorsements. So, of course, the Durham Affairs has made some of their endorsements, and the People's Alliance and some of these other political action kind of groups. So we're going to wait and find out whether these folks actually have the kind of pull that folks expect to have, or whether their pull has waned, and what's going to happen in these elections. Because, like I said, there are definitely some front runners here and things of that nature. So it ought to be interesting to see what happens in our political scene. And I'm sure that y'all have some politics going on up there in New Jersey as well.
Yeah, it's almost time to vote for a new governor up here. So, you know, that those primaries and everything will be going on. Individuals will be going to the poll and casting their vote. And then in November, we will decide who will succeed Governor Chris Christie in Trenton. So hopefully the individual that, you know, is there, and it'll be interesting to see, because people are interested in a few things. You know how they try to pile everything together. But when it comes down to property taxes, pension reform, health care, those are like the three biggest things on a lot of people's mind, because a lot of state employees in the state of New Jersey who have not gotten a raise in the past 2 years, all of the, we do step increments, and, you know, they've been frozen. So unfortunately, they've been working for the same rate of pay for the last 2 years. The healthcare premiums have gone up, you know, and it's like, all right, well, you got a whole lot of money, but now no one knows where the money goes. So
right. The
next governor is going to have quite a task, and this goes before Chris Christie. It goes back into the 90s when the pension system was first dipped into and the money wasn't replaced, and then each governor that came behind it kind of, it's like the bad little kid that nobody wants to play with, so they just push it all to the side. And now it's getting to the point where it has to be addressed. So, you know, they're also talking about regionalizing. They have what they call home rule up here in New Jersey, where you have each town, township, city, everybody has their own everything, police department, fire department, school system, school board with a superintendent, and all of this stuff right here. And now they're talking about the big word, the buzzword is shared services, because what they want to do and what they're trying to do is to consolidate some of these things. Princeton was able to successfully do it. They had Princeton Borough and Princeton Township. They merged together. So now it's just Princeton. You know, so if they could do that throughout the state of New Jersey, then it might help with, because, you know, you're charging property taxes, well, you got to pay these folks. So you got all of these people, especially when you have individuals who are superintendents of the school board. Imagine 500-plus school districts. Everybody has a school board with a superintendent, and look at all of the money. The money's going at the top. Meanwhile, the teachers, they do all of the work and get a little bit, you know, a few dollars.
Yeah.
But then you have individuals who are running the school system making a lot of dollars. And the system has been upside down for quite some time. I guess it's getting to the point now where people are starting to pay attention more. Don't show up at my church. You know, don't show up at my place of business and fast talk me, and then get into office, and then everything you said you would do was just that. Say you said you would do it. You don't follow through on your word. So people are now looking at, you know, and some people get mad. Are you going to vote Democrat or Republican? I'm not voting either one, because for me, I'm an independent voter. I have been for quite a while. So I don't owe either party anything, and loyalty you're not going to get because you've never been loyal to me. You know what I mean? Like, people get, I don't know if they get frustrated or not, and they'll say, well, the Democrats this and the Democrats. Yeah, but then when you pay attention, when you're not paying attention, because most people only pay attention around election time, look at all the things they did in between time.
Right.
And you think, and that, it's a, you know, you want to blame the governor, but the governor's just the final answer. Y'all, you bring it to a vote, you bring it to him, he says, yeah, go ahead and run it, or no, go back and fix it. So it's a lot of stuff being done when no one's paying attention, and then everybody believes that it's the fault of the other, but it's the fault of both groups.
Very much so, and you're actually so right, and that's actually one of the things they were talking about, even with the mayoral candidate here in Durham, because I went to a couple of the forums, and I know that at least once, if not twice, they have been asked almost point blank, y'all are coming into our neighborhoods, you know, our inner cities, you, like you said, coming to our churches and things of that nature. We want to know you're doing that during campaign season. Will you be doing it if you are elected? We don't want you just coming in here doing it because you need our votes, but we want you to make sure that you're going to actually be dealing with these issues when it's time to actually deal with them. Because, you know, one of the things that we always forget is that these kind of campaigns, particularly the off-year ones, these are actually the folks that oftentimes make decisions that more directly impact us than even those on the federal level. And these are the elections that we oftentimes have to pay closer attention to, and we don't. And as a matter of fact, I'm looking at the article right now, and it says that early voting here will start on Thursday. So it'll start on September 21st. It says there are 188,652 registered voters in the city of Durham, but far fewer than that are actually expected to vote. So one of the local people here said that in the 2015 municipal primary here, just 7.8% of the registered voters voted. And in November 2015, the general municipal election, it was more, but not by much. It was 10.6%. It says historically it's been lower, but this is the first time we've had a non-incumbent on ballot since 1997, and all our wards will be tested, including one incumbent not running. So what ask what he might expect for the turnout for the November, for the October 10th primary and the November 7th general election. He says it's hard to project, but over 20% would be nice. 100% would be great, but 20% or more would be a major increase. So definitely, like if you want to know about the breakdown in terms of race, there are 86,811 white registered voters in the city, 75,659 black voters, 524 American Indian voters, and 25,651 voters who checked off other for their race. So there's definitely, and in terms of the party, it says that there are 587 who are Democrats and 20,319 who are Republicans, and 58,855 are kind of like you. They're unaffiliated or independent, as you might say. So there's a large right. chunk of them here in this area as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see how things play out in our local elections and whether folks actually come to the fore, because I know that there's definitely some blocks of people. I know that Mr. Freelon, who is a youth activist, is definitely trying to mobilize some of the youth voters. Steve Shule has some of his people that he's affiliated with, as do Farad Ali and some of the other candidates as well. So I was earlier mentioning about the PACs, and that's the word I was looking for, was PAC involvement, and it says, behind the candidate's own campaign volunteers, political action committee endorsements can sway voters. Because candidates don't run with party labels, the endorsements can help voters know what kind of interest is supporting them, and they may provide some money, but also the question is whether they provide people power, said Bob Holland. He's the executive director of Democracy North Carolina. So the big three PACs in Durham, the People's Alliance endorsed Shule, Steve Shule, who's one of the mayoral candidates, as well as Deidreana Freeman and John Rooks, and also they endorsed Vernetta Alston. So that's who one of our people were endorsing. But then you look at one of the other ones, the Durham Committee on the Affairs of Black People, and they endorsed Farad Ali, Cora Cole McFadden, who is our mayor pro tem and running for one of the for her city council ward seat, Mark Anthony Middleton, who's a reverend, as well as Sheila Ann Huggins, and then the Friends of Durham endorsed Farad Ali, Cora Cole McFadden, Mr. Middleton, and then they turned around and endorsed Moffitt. So as you can see, and that's Dan Moffitt, who's an incumbent, as well as Don Moffitt, I should say. So as you can see, it's just all kinds of political intrigue going on. Some of them are endorsing some of the same people, some that are endorsing different people, or having like at least a difference of one or two candidates. So it's really going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. So.
Yeah, and see, like here in New Jersey, they give you stats and say, oh, these people voted in the primary, it's percentage of this and percentage of that. But it's a closed primary state, meaning, you know, those of us who are unaffiliated, in order to vote in the primary, would have to declare a party, vote, and then jump back out. But not always fit like that because, you know, most independent voters vote on the issues. I don't vote because, you know, this person is Democrat or this person is Republican. We're going to vote the line because we want our party to get in. Sometimes there are individuals on the other side of the aisle who it makes more sense to the receiver. So, you know, no one goes in. And some people may have a scattered ballot. I know I've had it a few times where, no, I don't like this individual. I like this person. I'm not going to not vote for them because they're Republican. You know, what they're trying to do makes sense to me, well, I'm not going to vote for this guy because he's not Democrat. I mean, because he is a Democrat. You know, I don't care. It's who has my better interest at hand, that's who deserves the vote. And with the two-party system, one of the biggest flaws that I see in that is a lot of times people will just vote the line. You may not even like this person as a candidate, but, and I mean, the Republicans just did it very effectively, you know, and they're probably like, well, really don't like this guy, but he's running on our party, so he beat out everybody else, so, all right, we're going to vote for him.
And we reject
either way, because Hillary Clinton just came out and said she received zero support from Bernie Sanders. And it's like, are you kidding me? She was on the View, I believe, and she was saying that, you know, when President Obama beat her, she backed him and supported him, and she didn't get that from Bernie Sanders. I was like, actually, you got that support before the voting came. So he gave, because it was like Monday, he was like, I'm against this, vote me in the White House, this is when I'm going to work the change. And then Tuesday, he came out and was like, night and day, like, she's the better candidate, I support her, and you need to support her too. Wait a minute, dog. The primaries, I don't think the primaries had even happened. Like, you didn't lose. In fact, nobody won. But then he supported her, and that's how she became the candidate. It's just that it's a lot going on. When you got a lot of stuff going on with you, then people are more inclined to say, you know what? Nah, I'll pass. And that's exactly what happened to her. You know, like, you got too much stuff going on. Now, had you stayed in the Senate, you probably would have had a chance. Because nobody would have known how good or how bad you may be. But when you get, you know, you get to a situation where they know and they're looking at it, and some people like it and some people don't, and you brought all this attention to yourself, well, you can't dodge it now.
That's very true.
So,
that's very true.
It backfired for her, you know.
Yeah, totally backfired. And now folks are trying to figure out what happened and, you know, why we're dealing with Trump. And, you know, he's running around. I think this time he's back on the international stage. And, you know, last time he was on the international stage, he had that infamous golf cart incident where people are doing a walking tour and he decides to follow behind in a golf cart. And then he also, you know, pissed folks off having these long marathon meetings with Putin and then almost ignoring some of the other folks and having these long marathon sessions with him and everything. And now he's back on the world stage again. We'll see how many times he puts his foot in his mouth this time.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
He has a history of doing that, so I'm sure he will find another way to put his foot in his mouth once again. So one of the things I'm hoping is that we're going to hear from Joe Newberry, so I'm hoping that he'll be giving us a call, because one of the things we're going to try to talk about on this particular show is the wonderful world of bluegrass. So hopefully we'll hear from Joe Newberry, and I'm hoping that I'll just told him to call, and he said he had it on his schedule, so we're hoping that he'll give us a buzz in and call us in and tell us all about the wonders of bluegrass music. Had a couple of other folks that have promised they're going to call in and talk about their musical background as well, so if you want to drop that number in case they're listening and want to try to give us a buzz and things of that nature, that would be great. And if not, we'll just continue our running dialogue.
Well, if they want to call in and join the conversation, they can give us a call at 646-668-8393. Yep, that's the voice of the people, y'all.
Yeah, that's definitely the voice of the people. And that, like I said, we've got all kinds of great things happening on the entertainment culture. We had Cinefest this weekend as well as SparkCon, and I believe there was even a Bug Festival as well, which Raleigh had. SparkCon and Bug Fest were both in Raleigh. And this week, I believe, Carlboro has got a music festival. And then I believe it's the end of the month is the big Wide Open Bluegrass Festival. So there's all kinds of great entertainment We love having our festivals, particularly in the summer and the fall. But Chuck, we like having them just about all year long here in the Triangle area. So there's always folks having some festival or another around here and just thoroughly enjoying themselves. You know, definitely during the summer months and the spring and the fall, the weather's a lot more cooperative for the outside ones. Not trying to really have that many ones on the outside in our few winter months, because we don't really do bad winters all that often. But, you know, every once in a while it gets a little bit nippy. Of course, they'll do First Friday, which a lot of people do in terms of celebrating the New Year's, and that's a combination of both inside and outside venues, but at least it's not all outside, because, you know, once we get around January or February, even here, it gets a little bit on the nippy side. Not as nippy as up there in New Jersey, but it might get a little nippy in January, February, and maybe even a little bit in March and parts of December, but we're not trying to get overly nippy.
Oh, yeah, we get it now. We get it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I know y'all get it big time. Y'all thoroughly get it. There's no doubt about that. Y'all just be getting it left and right, and folks be like saying, like, I don't know why they're getting it so bad. I'm like, I don't know either. y'all get some of that crazy weather. So how's your football team doing? I know that my Panthers went ahead and they won another game, but they did lose their star tight end. Looks like he might be out for a while. So Greg Olsen might be out for a while, but they did win their home opener in a nail biter against the Bills, won it 9-3. So it wasn't a whole lot of scoring going on, but they did manage that victory.
Well, yeah, we next up for us is we defeated the Browns 24-10 yesterday. So, you know, we are 2-0 right now. We shout out the Bengals the week before. And on the 24th, we are going to Wembley Stadium in London, England, to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, you know, that's going to it's set for Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. So, I'll be getting my football in early on Sunday. To watch
very
that
early
game.
On Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like,
I mean, you figure it'll probably be 1 o'clock over there, I guess. So, you know, for them, it'll be our time that we usually watch football. So it'll be 9:30 in the morning. I will be firing up my Netmaster so that I can click on to it and see the Baltimore Ravens go for 3-0, you know.
All right, and like I said, the Panthers are 2-0, so they are 2-0 now. And my Vikings are 1-1, and my fantasy team looks like we're about 1-1 too, because I did win my opening game, and then I just checked earlier today, and it looks like I lost by a point. I don't know that he's got any players playing today, so I'm going to lose by more than a point. But right now, I am down by 1 point, and I don't have anybody else playing, so it looks like I'm just going to settle for that 1-1 and bounce back with another win next week, you know. But at least I opened with a win, so hopefully I can build on the momentum. And I didn't get, like, blown out in the second game. And so even if I took an L, at least it was a moral victory, we'll call it.
Oh, yeah.
Got to have those moral victories as well. So definitely got to have
that's
those.
One thing. I forgot to sign up for the fantasy football this year, man. And I was like, all right, well, dang, it's too late now. Two games behind, you know. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll just watch it this year. Follow it, check it, and see.
You're not going to be joining any of these protests that are going on. And I know that there were even some complaints about some of the folks that have made comments about the protest.
I remember
last week you said that you were not going to join any of these protests, most motions.
No, I'm not. And, you know, I just, when you watch it, you got folks on both sides of the fence bashing each other about, you know, you should, or no, I'm not. And it's like, honestly, I haven't seen anybody say anything about something or substance. You're boycotting the NFL. What does that have to do with police brutality? You know, I don't see the correlation. Maybe, I don't know. I know one thing, though. Some people can multitask. Some people can stay emotional. For those who stay emotional, do your thing. You know, for those who can multitask, it's business as usual. It's nothing unusual. But I don't see. I have to be able to see where you are, where you plan to go, and what you plan to achieve from doing this. And when I look at just simple economics, you're looking at, all right, well, folks are like, well, if you don't watch, it's going to hurt them. If you don't have a Nielsen box in your house, they don't care because they're not registering someone in their private home without a Nielsen box turning on the television. So, you know, like, you don't get counted anyway. But I understand you want to support something, but for those who are supporting, support and keep it quiet. For those who are not supporting, don't support, watch your football, and don't say nothing. Like, we're not all going to always be on the same page. We've never been truly united in my lifetime, you know? So it's not surprising to see people wanting to abandon friendships and all of this other stuff for something that's not going to even matter by December, you know.
And what do you think about people jumping on? What do you think about people jumping on the Sports Center host when she was accusing President Trump on Twitter of being a white supremacist and argued that Trump's rise was the direct result of white supremacy? I'm talking about
Jemele Hill.
Jemele Hill, right? And then, you know, she says that one of her quotes was that Trump is a bigot. Glad you could live with voting for him. I couldn't because I cared about more than just myself. So apparently that got some of the Trump supporters up in arms, and they're now, some of them, I guess, are calling for her to be taken off the air and taken off of the network and things of that nature. So, and that's just one case of folks, I guess, taking their statements and their role in society and carrying it to the general public, whether that's through Twitter or Instagram or however they feel like doing that.
Well, when you're in a high-profile job such as that, you have to be careful of how things are worded. You may strongly feel that way. But if it's not, you know, and he's not sports-related, so now you're delving into the political thing. And you can still, I mean, sometimes you got to kind of like, hey, if you really want to blast that thing out, do it on your personal page. But mind you, your boss might be looking, and, you know, you still got to do, because you're a public figure. So now you have to word some things a little differently. And some people say, well, why do you have to do that? Because if you don't, you'll run into this situation. The people with the dollars control the narrative. So if they say, you know what, we don't want you to say anything disparaging about the president of the United States, and your retort is, well, they did it when Barack Obama was president. They kept calling him Obama, Mr. Obama. They never said president, you know. But then they'll say, okay, well, you either do it and lose your job, or we'll put you on the show that nobody watches. You know, so you got to kind of like, you have to remain neutral in some things because, I mean, all of us can be very opinionated, but when you're answered, you don't know who your fan base is, who your viewership is. And even if you do know, if you were to get more viewers or more fans, you know what, I don't feel like pissing off nobody because I don't feel like explaining what the hell I said later on. And people will, you know, take that into a totally different area. And by the time you finish, now you're tired. You don't want to deal with anybody. You don't want to say nothing to anybody because what you say will be taken and you know, you'll be taking an oath to it. So we just got to, you know, I mean, was she lying at what she said? I don't think so. I think it was 100% true. But if you say it at work, now your boss has the right to get involved because you're a representative of that show, that brand, and everything else. You know, so, and when you talk about businesses and all of that stuff, they're only really concerned with one thing, money. They've been doing that since slavery, you know. And some people said, well, no, they didn't just want to whip up on black folk and treat them like, well, they may wanted to treat them like trash. But at the same time, it was about making money. If I can get these women to have more kids, I'll have more slaves that'll push more product that brings me more money. You know, so they're not beating on people anymore, but at the same time, here it is. This is the formula. This is my product. This is my brand. You represent both. So if you tick off my viewers that are in the deep woods chewing tobacco and making new hoods, then that's not a good thing. Because I'm going to lose money. And, you know, I'm going to lose money for these dudes that some people may call country bumpkins or hicks or whatever. But they're spending money, you know. And, yeah, black folk are spending money, too. They don't care who spends the money as long as they get more of it. And I think we have to, at some point, realize that certain things can't be said in certain places. You won't let me come into a church and start cursing like a sailor. You know what I mean? Like, I'll take a curse word, and they'll probably be like, sir, you got to go. Because we know you're about to say something real, real weird that doesn't vibe with what we're doing. And it's the same thing anywhere. I mean, yes, you can be outspoken. Yes, you can speak your mind. But then there are some places where if you're there at that moment, you're going to have to say that for later. You know.
You're absolutely right about that. And, you know, ESPN apparently has been having declining numbers as well because they've had some other things that have gone on recently that have gotten them into trouble, like the time that they pulled their announcer, Robert Lee, because he shared his namesake with the Confederate general. And then they also got, apparently, the conservatives rolled their eyes back in 2015 when the ESPYs granted Caitlyn Jenner a Courage Award over a teenage girl who had died of brain cancer. And earlier this year, the ESPNW ran a poem dedicated to Assata Shakur. So, you know, it seems like they're always doing things that are not exactly making them the most popular people in certain parts of America. So they're might be paying the price for that in terms of folks walking away from them as well. So that's one of the dangers you have when things of that nature happen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely true.
Yeah, sometimes folks just get there and they get too carried away and they just can't handle what's going on and things of that nature. So it's going to be really interesting to see how things play out with ESPN and things of that nature. And also whether I do remember that I did hear that I think it might have been one of the games. It might have been the first game of the season or something like that. They did say that some of the numbers were down compared to previous years because of people not watching the game because of these supposed boycotts that are going on in the NFL. Like I said, I'm a fantasy football person. I also do watch football. I haven't watched any games this season, but it's not because of boycotting. It's just because of my schedule's been crazy lately. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be glued to a TV in the near future catching a game or two. And might even try to get down to Charlotte to catch a Panthers game live.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man. And it's, you know, when you get when you start looking at stuff, it's like, you know what? Yeah, some people will say, well, you're not willing to give up your entertainment. No, because I'm doing other things. But I don't owe it to you to prove to you that I'm doing something else. If I choose not to watch, then that's my thing. A lot of people look at me nuts when I say I still watch Ratchet TV. I never once said anything about, you know, if I'm not talking about you and what you do, just leave me alone. Because I still take care of other things that need to be taken care of, and only the people that it affects need to know.
That's right. You're still involved with various organizations. I believe you're involved with your local NAACP and several other organizations. Mm-hmm. I know I'm involved with other organizations as well. So there are other ways that you can make those political and social statements and not necessarily have to participate in that particular activity to make those statements known or even show your support. Like even if you feel that Colin needs to get a job somewhere, which I do think he needs to get a job somewhere, there are other ways that you can let folks know that what your feelings are on that subject.
Say that one more time. Hold on, because it faded out a little bit. Hello?
Yep. You hear me?
Yeah, say that one more time. It faded out just a little bit.
Oh, no problem. I'm saying even if you are a supporter of Colin Kaepernick or some of the other folks that are making actions while they're playing in the NFL, there are other ways that you can show your support. Like I said, if you want to be one of those people that chooses to do the boycott thing, then that is your prerogative. But some of us will find other ways to try to let folks know that we want Colin to get a job somewhere and that we want people to be able to continue making those statements that they have been making historically for some time. I remember as a kid, and I do mean I was a little kid when this happened, when those two, well, I believe it was more than two, but those track athletes made their statement with the Black Power symbol. And, you know, there have been folks that have been making political statements through their sports activities through years, just like they've made political statements through their entertainment vehicle as well. Because sometimes if you're given a vehicle in terms of having a wider audience, sometimes you can use that vehicle in order to make some key statements of either support or actually even calling out to have people make actions of some sort or another.
Well, you know what? Honestly, as far as the job situation, I don't really care about that. And I say that because, I mean, you know, some people are like, oh, he's being blackballed and he's this, he's that. Well, I think the NFL would have cut some more people if they were looking to blackball. They're not going to just blackball one individual. They're going to go and get everybody. And all those people who did not stand or protested during the, you know, playing of the national anthem. You know, like, okay, well, I mean, what makes him the one lone ranger? You know what I mean? To me, when I look at it logically and take all feeling out of it, he opted out of his contract, wanted to test the free agent waters, and it didn't work. So now he doesn't have a job. Never mind that there are maybe other quarterbacks in there that suck. But he opted out of his contract. It's the same as leaving your job. So now, nobody picked him up. They have that right. And for to me, when people say, oh, I'm boycotting until he gets a job, well, two things. Before he opted out of his contract, he agreed to stand for the playing of the national anthem. So you start a protest, and then you realize, hey, man, this is going to affect my dollar bills. So you know what? I go ahead and stand for it. I'm not going to draw it out and it become this big to-do thing. I'm just going to go ahead and stand. But you know what? I'm out of my contract now. So I want to test the free agent market. Maybe somebody pay me what I'm worth. And nobody picked up that option. So that part, to me, in my opinion, is a dead argument. Like, you're arguing about somebody getting a job who, in essence, walked off the job. How are you being blackballed when you left your job? I mean, shit, if I walk off my job today, I don't think nobody, everybody would be like, you're the dumbest bastard I've ever seen. Do you have another job? No. Well, you're dumb as hell. Why you leave that job if you don't have another one? I'd be like, wait a minute. Maybe I'm being treated a certain way. You need to get a lawyer. You know, everybody will have 10 different things to say, you know, but they won't say, you know what, all right, I got your back. The man left with $39 million, and he's the one person who we have yet to hear from regarding all of this drama that everybody has taken and they turned a molehill into a mountain. Like I said, people are willing to forego friendships because I'm supporting and you're not, so you won't back me up. Well, shit. Hey, man, if I see you slap somebody on the street and they whip your ass, you think I'm jumping in? Nah. You caught that one on your own. You made a choice. And unfortunately, it was the wrong choice.
Right.
Because now you got your ass whipped. But, you know, like, at some point, we have to learn to respect the decisions that others make, whether we agree with them or whether we don't. Because then maybe you'll have something else that I do understand and I do support, and then I get behind you on that one. But when you keep on, when folks are knocking each other, regardless of which way they're going, then when you come with something else, it's like, you know what? I'll pass. Because if I got to go uphill to fight you first, it's not worth that much to me, you know.
Right.
And I'll just choose to stay here. Like one guy said, everybody can't march. I said, you're right. Some people have to think.
That's very true. That's very true. But, you know, in talking about the job market and the job situation, and yes, Collins part of just a growing job market. But one of the other interesting articles that I saw today was the fact that, you know, back in the day, I'm taking the topic just slightly, it used to be that you almost had to have the 100% qualifications of a job, meaning that they wanted you to have a college degree. You had to have a college degree. They wanted you to have a certain amount of experience. You had to have that. They wanted you to have all of this. You had to have that. Well, apparently, according to what is being reported today, that's changing some now. They're saying that you don't have to have all of that stuff. It says no degrees, no experience, no problem. With employers struggling to find workers in an ever-tightening labor market, many are hiring job candidates for both white and blue-collar jobs who lack skills or experience deemed essential just a few years ago. So companies aren't going for 100% of the job description, says Paul McDonald, senior executive director of staffing from Robert Half. They're going for approximately 70 to 75% of the job description, but they're going with individuals who have high potential and are a good cultural fit. So one of the examples they said, think of the marketing coordinator who is a whiz at digital and social media but can't write content, the aspiring warehouse worker with no prior experience, or the sales vice president who previously worked for a technological firm but knows little about the consumer product industry she's applying to enter. So it looks like they're looking at the bigger picture in terms of what you can bring to the table and not just the more standard, you've got to have X, Y, and Z in order to get the job.
Well, economically, it helps too, because you know what? Since you don't have all of those skills, you know what? For someone with those skills, I would have had to pay $115,000, $120,000 a year. You don't have all of those skills. So, you know what? I can bring you in at 60 and I can teach you. So now it'll be a few years before you get up to 120. But look how much money I save over time. You know what
exactly.
I mean? So I think somebody finally came in and said, you know what, instead of having all of these different qualifications and you get five people and you bring five on staff that you're paying $100,000 to, so every year you're spending $500,000 on five people. Whereas if you relax some of those restrictions, you can bring five people in at $50,000 and you save $250,000 every year. You know, so I guess it's how you look at it, and companies are realizing that we have too many restrictions and not enough candidates because some people won't even apply.
And they even said that. They said to fill in the gap, more employers are launching training programs. Nearly half of U.S. employers provided such programs last year to deal with talent shortages, up from 12% in 2015. So, and that was according to a survey by staffing firm Manpower. So Manpower is noticing this as well. It says other companies are picking the candidate who meets most qualifications and then bringing in another worker to handle the rest, effectively splitting the job in two and paying each employer about half the original salary. So that's another way that they're trying to get around this. So they are definitely doing some creative ways to realize that they can't get that ideal candidate, so they might have to try some other tactics, including some training tactics, to get folks up to speed and in order to get these jobs that they need filled.
Cool. Very important. Yeah. Very important.
So that's one of the things that's going on right now, is that things are doing that and things of that nature. So one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is, do you have any music by Rhapsody or anybody else? So I want you to put that on.
Oh,
I'm going to see if I can.
I sure do. I have actually, her album comes out, Layla's Wisdom, it comes out on Friday. So I'm going to play the newest one. It's called Pay Up. So this
all right.
Is Rhapsody.
You play that newest one. I'm going to bounce off and see if I can't find some of our guests, and then I'll be right back in about 5 minutes while you play that new one.
Okay, bro, here it is.
All right.
Only way you get her, only way she won't leave you. She said,
how much you think it costs for this leave,
huh? You like the way it look, well, baby, it's gonna cost some. Spoiler girl, she like real leather. She like exotic trips, good weather. All you got to offer is to love her better. Better than the rest, told her you ain't need a dime to be better than the best. She thought it would impress, picked her a bouquet. But she only want new boots like Beyonce. She like, I got dreams that'll one day pay. She looking at you like, baby, I ain't got time to wait.
Hey up!
Living off your income, chilling all day. Borrow the car and bring it back on low tank with his homeboys, homeboys playing 2K. You would come up, he don't wanna come up. That's why he praying on independent woman. Grocery list and all the bills is paid. He on your family plan, so all the calls are made. Yeah. Most of those go to others, trying to make you feel bad, saying you don't love him. Buy him new J's, whips and threads. He always got excuses on polo bids. Like, pay up, yeah. Ain't no family plans. You was only trying to help a man become a man. Thought your love one day would help him grow up. But he just want a baby girl that he don't can pay up.
Pay out.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rhapsody with Pay Up, new album dropping on Friday, September 22nd. It'll be on Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, Google Play, you name it, it'll be there. Jam was the squad, Rock Nation's the family, Soul Council's the foundation, the rest is the future. Make sure you support, all right? So with that being said, I'm going to grab a hold of my man Mark Lee. He should be back now. Mark, you back?
I'm back.
All right, right on time, brother, right on time. You know what I mean? Just hit the new song, Pay Up, from the album Layla's Wisdom. It'll be out on the 22nd, which will be Friday. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So you say they were rocking that song, and she's always rocking Rhapsody is, and she's part of that movement of entertainers just from right here in this community.
Oh, yeah, and she's right down in your area, so, you know, originally from Snow Hill, North Carolina, representing and
yeah.
Putting that good feeling back in hip-hop, you know what I mean? We got kind of away from it with all of the newer artists, and they do their thing a different way, so, you know, I can't knock them.
I can't knock them at all. They're doing some great things and doing some powerful things. So we have to give them much respect for all the things that are going on here in this community in terms of putting out some great sounds and letting folks be recognized here in this area. She's been part of Art of Cool, and she's definitely been working with a lot of that whole Jamla crew and everything. So it is definitely positive to see these folks making some noise here in this area, as well as just up and down the East Coast and throughout the area.
Oh, yeah, they came for Made in America, you know, and turned that out. So, and there are other artists as well, have the Victoria and GQ and, you know, Harlow. And it's a number of the family is there, you know, headed by the, we call it the General Knife Wonder. So, you know, salute to all of the Jamla family. And, you know, we support you. Thor supports you here at the Voice of the People, right?
We definitely support you, the Voice of the People. We know that Ninth is a major factor here in the area, and definitely makes a lot of things jump here in the community. You know, he's done everything from being a professor to being involved in the producing realm to being a performer. So Ninth is just a versatile performer, and definitely one that I've had a conversation with on a couple of times. So we're hoping that we'll get him on the show as well in the very near future and be able to have a conversation with him and see what he's got to be talking about in terms of what's going on in his world, because Ninth has always got something amazing going on. It doesn't matter whether it's this year or whether it's in the years past. He's always got truly amazing things happening that have got folks jumping and always interested in what he's got going on.
In fact, if you're listening right now, make sure, and Rhapsody's album drops on Friday, and on Saturday, September 23rd, Black Jedi Zulu presents a sneaker affair hosted by Ninth Wonder, Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Google Fiber Triangle, 518 West Jones Street, Raleigh, North Carolina. Tickets are still available at eventbrite.com. It's a charity ball. So they're raising money for the Cranston Hargrove Memorial Art Scholarship. Attire, tuxedos, suits, gowns, and your sneakers. So, you know, that's what makes it very unique that, you know, you get to dress up and then put your nice sneakers on at the bottom. So there's a sneaker ball. Support Black Jedi Zulu. They're doing great things down there in the community. So, you know, your support is definitely appreciated, and we salute you.
Oh, yeah, that support is definitely appreciated and needed, so we're glad to see that folks are recognizing the great things that are going on that Knight is doing and the whole Jamla crew, so that is definitely a great thing that is going on here in our community, and that's just like we said before, great things that are happening in terms of the world of entertainment throughout the country and the world, so we're trying to stay on top of it. We want you to tell us about what you've got going on and things of that nature. So we are definitely looking forward to hearing all of these great stories from around the world because, you know, we are a worldwide podcast now, you know, on iHeart and TuneIn and various other avenues as well. And, of course, I just saw earlier today that we have some very good company in terms of iHeart, because iHeart just announced today that they are teaming up with the world of NPR. So NPR podcasts are now on iHeart along with us. So we have got the one of our podcast mates are the NPR podcast now. So we have now that iHeart has teamed up with NPR.
Hey, the hands are linking and the arms are joining together, you know. So that's a great thing, man. And also, I'll post the link for our replays where we're syndicated now, you know. So
that's right.
It just continues to move along in a positive direction. And what can I say, man? It's something that I never thought that, you know, we didn't think 3 years ago that it was going to get to this point, but we're happy that we're here.
We're here, and of course we have to give a shout out to Ty, and I did hear that she sent me some information, which I'm still doing some research on, that we're going to talk about, but apparently she saw a post from a believe it was somebody named Jenkins who was talking about the poisoning of the waters in our community. So We're going to do a little bit of research and probably bring that to the forefront of the show as well, because she sent me a link with some YouTube sites that I haven't had a chance to really examine, but I'm definitely going to be checking that out. And, you know, ever since Flint, people have been very cautious about how things are being done in the various communities. And I know for a fact that the poisoning of waters from corporate folks can be a very real thing, because I grew up in a little small town called Warrenton, and many of you may not remember, but there was a chemical dump back in the late 70s, early 80s of a dangerous, I believe it was a fertilizer-type poison, but Warren County, as well as parts of Virginia, were where some of that dumping was going on, and there are still people, even to this day, that have been dealing with effects from that. So, you know, anytime they talk about whether it's back in the 70s and 80s, or even back like a year or two ago with Flint, there are always these things happening in the corporate world where you have to be cautious about what's being dumped into the water. And, you know, there are some people that are, might even be thinking that some of these things are being done intentionally, because, you know, the out of the counties that were dumped in the Virginia and North Carolina area were definitely in poor African-American communities. And, you know, Flint is a poor African-American area as well in terms of a large portion of their population. So we sometimes have to ask, you know, why are they dumping in certain communities, just like folks had to ask back in the day why certain highways were going through certain communities as well. So, you know, we have to study our history and understand why these things are happening. Is it an accident? Oftentimes it is not. Oftentimes it is planned, and planned not to our benefit, but to our detriment.
Oh, yeah, because if they figure if no one's paying attention, they can get that off, and it possibly could be, you know, something else. So,
yeah, it's just amazing what corporations will do and try to do and things of that nature. I remember one of my favorite books growing up was a book called Ecotage, and Ecotage was about a guy named the Fox, and what the Fox did was he actually turned the tables on some of the polluters, because he was, Ecotage was actually stood for ecology sabotage. So he would, like, go into, like, the big bosses' places, like the corporations that might be dumping pollution in a big river, and he would go get some of that muck and that pollution, sneak into their office, and basically dump it right there on their desk. So, you know, when they came back to work that morning, they might find themselves a very smelly mess. So, you know, he was known for doing that. I want to say that was back in the, might have been like the 70s or the, maybe even the 60s, but you can actually find the book Ecotage on Amazon and other places. But he was definitely one of the radical leaders of that era and everything. So it was very interesting watching that go on and seeing what he was all about and reading some of his exploits. And I think there was exploits of others as well that might have been supporters of his, but the book basically focused a lot on what he did, but it also talked about some of the other people that were supporters of his, and, you know, some of the tactics they did, some of the tactics are still going. You know, there's still people that are chaining themselves to trees if they feel like a certain kind of tree is being endangered or certain kind of wildlife is being endangered, that every once in a while you'll hear news or things of that nature. So there are definitely some environmental activists out there even to this day. So he was definitely one of the pioneers in that field, and I'm sure that there are some other folks that knew of his legacy as well. So, like I said, if you're not familiar with the book, I would definitely check it out. It's called Ecotage, and I know that you can find it on Amazon and some of the other book sites as well.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the things we have to do. We have to learn our history and understand our history so that people can understand what's going on and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah. Got to be able to understand it, because if we don't, we're doomed to repeat it.
And we definitely do not want to repeat it at all. That's one of the dangers of things happening, is that sometimes folks do not understand what's going on, and then they're sitting there going like, wait a minute, we just did that before, and now we're doing it again.
Mm-hmm. When are we going to learn?
Yes, we have to learn from our past mistakes and things of that nature. Otherwise, as you said, we're just doomed to repeat them, and that's not the way that society should be going. We need to learn how to learn from our mistakes and make a positive direction in a positive manner, not going back and repeating old mistakes over and over again. I believe that old saying about If you keep repeating the same thing over and over, that's like one of the definitions of crazy.
Oh, yeah, it sure is. It sure is a definition of crazy. And I don't think too many people would want to be labeled as such, you know.
With that label, that's not something that they want to have on their resume, is being labeled as that kind of word. I mean, you know, sometimes people may play crazy in order to get things accomplished, and I think I've seen people do that in the past, but in terms of that being something that you want to be permanently labeled, I think most people will intentionally try to avoid that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Nobody wants to be the nutcase, man.
Nobody wants to be the nutcase at all?
No, not at all. I don't think that's, nobody aims to be put in that category, you know?
Nah, they do not hope to be in that category at all, because all that does is create, you know, people as a general rule try not to be pigeonholed into anything, because, you know, once you get pigeonholed, then you're in all kinds of trouble. So folks try not to be pigeonholed into little boxes and things of that nature. I mean, by nature and by society, we often are pigeonholed because, you know, we're labeled one thing or another. You know, you're labeled by your race, you're labeled by your gender, you're labeled by your orientation, you're labeled by your income, you're labeled by your job, you're labeled by your education level, you're labeled by so many things. But as a general rule, we all try to step outside of those boxes and not just be whatever those little boxes that they have us check are. You know, we try to be the totality of what humanity is about, but not just be labeled into the various boxes that the world and society tries to put us all into. And, you know, they try to do it by everything from gender to orientation to religious affiliation or non-affiliation, as the case may be, to educational levels, to everything else that you see when you go on the census bureaus or any of the other things that study people by their nature. They always try to have you check this box or that box. And sometimes we all need to be a little bit beyond that. We need to understand what we are in terms of our humanity. We also need to try to find ways to understand people that are in other parts of the equation. So, like, if you're heterosexual, you don't have to have friends of those opposite orientations in your circle, but it probably wouldn't hurt to have some friends in those kind of circles in your friend circle, as well as people from other races and other religions and other ethnicities and various other things, because in order to be a truly developed person, you need to have an understanding of the world around us, and that means understanding the various parts of our humanity.
Oh, yeah. Well, like my mother used to say, you never know who you're going to need, and you never know when you're going to need them. So, you know, you need to go ahead and treat everyone with the basic respect, because
right.
If not, that will come back to you as well. So, you know, you don't want to be disrespectful and then hoping
right.
that someone will be able to support you when you need it, but you haven't supported anyone else. So it comes down, and if we all learn that basic respect, it doesn't matter what a person chooses, what they don't choose, what they like, what they don't like. We ought to be able to respect the decision that they make, and life goes on. You know, I mean, at some point, folks will realize that you can't keep telling others what to do and then think you're going to do what you want to do yourself, you know. So it becomes problematic when individuals just get stuck in that singular track of thinking.
Yeah, and that's often what happens. Too often we got people that get stuck in those singular traps of thinking, or that, you know, too often we get people that believe in the their way or the highway kind of approach. I mean, that is one of my complaints, not with all, but that's one of my complaints with certain religious leaders and everything, is, you know, I don't think I know that there are people that believe in ghosts and people that believe in those kind of things, But as far as I know, I've yet to meet one face to face. I've heard bumps in the night and other things that probably could have been ghosts and things of that nature, but I've yet to see one that's actually come up there and said, "Hey, Mark, I'm so and so. Remember me?" Yeah, so probably would do all kinds of things and scream and yell and, you know, remind and wonder if I'm actually seeing things. But that's not happened that I've had that direct encounter as of yet. Not saying that it won't happen in my lifetime. You know, one never knows what might happen in the world and all that kind of stuff. But it's not happened. Like I said, I've heard bumps in the night in some very historical buildings that could have been people from other times and other places. But since I personally do not know anybody that I can honestly say has made the return trip back, I can't say what goes on that other side of the journey. But I just, from a personal standpoint, have a serious problem with people that want to believe that it's their way or the highway, because my feelings about the higher power and God and all is that He created all of us, and He created us all in some form of His image and everything. So I can't see Him just making blanket statements to rule out large swaths of humanity because they didn't go His way and things of that nature. Just the logic of that to me totally.
It doesn't make sense. And you know what? But someone will try to justify it. And you know, and I know, some people will try to justify it. They'll try to explain it. All kinds of crazy stuff. And then you're like, how'd you come to that conclusion? Oh, well, you're giving me a hard time. You know, I don't owe you an explanation. I don't owe this or I don't owe that. So why'd you say it? You know, and then it becomes an even bigger problem because it's like, won't you shut up? You know, and it's like, nah, that's not what it's about. I need you to explain to me how you came to this conclusion and why you're so damn angry, you know?
Exactly.
But they'll never share that, you know.
They won't give you that explanation, you know. Or they'll tell you that because it was told to them, because it was told to their parents, it was told to their grandparents, it was told to their great-grandparents, it was told, you know, to five or six generations beyond that, you know. Just because the same thing is told over and over doesn't necessarily mean that it's just that it is the truth.
Now, that's very true. And, you know, one day it's going to all make sense. One day.
Yep. One day it'll all make sense that folks will understand the nature of what it's all about, and folks will be like, oh, that's what I meant to say.
Right. But you didn't actually verbalize it in that manner. So now there's an issue, you know, and what are you going to do to either correct it or make it make sense?
Yeah, and that's the key, is how to make it all make sense so that everybody's able to do what they've got to do and actually have it make total sense and not just partial sense.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But folks just have their ways of thinking, and they want you to believe their way or the highway. And oftentimes, it's not their way or the highway. Sometimes it's got to be developed into a wider picture, and people have to have a broader understanding. I mean, one of the great things that they say about Malcolm was that, Malcolm X, that is that he truly developed even a wider understanding of humanity when he went to Mecca and he looked around him and he was like, wait a minute, I've been calling certain people the devil forever, and there's some of those people that look like those folks that are right here with me at the same place.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So then he had to, like, you know, as we all during the course of life have to reexamine some of what has been our the foundation of our belief system, because, you know, that we as people are always studying what's going on and reading what others are saying and just trying to learn on a constant basis, because, you know, the minute you stop learning, that's the minute that you are really in deep trouble, because, you know, that's something we all have to do. I mean, not saying you can't have some mindless entertainment. I'm not going to say that there's not times that I don't pop on the TV and watch total mindless TV, because it has nothing at all to do with trying to better myself or learn anything great in the depth of the show, but, you know, sometimes you got to have those mindless moments as well. But at the same time, it is always good to be able to study what's on the internet, read what's in the newspaper, grab a magazine, grab the various other forms of media that are out there, and actually study both what has happened in the past as well as what is going on in the present, so that we can have a better future from learning both what's happening now mm-hmm. and what's happening in the past, and moving on into a greater day.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. So we're coming up on what time is it? 8:20.
All right, 8:20. We might be trying to make sure about 9. Yeah, because we're not here for my bluegrass folks. I'll reach out to them and see what happened, and we might just do a rescheduling show, because I know next week we've got two guests. We've got your guest that will be coming on the show talking about his fatherhood initiative. We've also got the young lady, Michelle Gonzalez-Green, who will be talking about all kinds of stuff, because she is a public arts advocate and an activist and things of that nature. So we're looking forward to having both of those folks on the show next week, and who knows, we might even have some of the bluegrass folks, because I may reach out to them and see what's happened in terms of this week, and it might just be a hodgepodge show where we just have all kinds of conversations going on. You know, that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes it just becomes me and Dean talking about what's going on in the world, and sometimes Ty will jump in, or other guests as well, and sometimes it's the folks that are scheduled, but we might just see how it all plays out on next Monday. But either way, we know we've got two powerful guests for sure, and I will reach out to the bluegrass folks and say, hey, I thought you had it on your calendar. You must have forgot.
and we'll eventually get them in and
oh yeah,
get on the voice of the people. And folks, when y'all are ready to call in and join the conversation, you can catch us here at 646-668-8393. If you missed the live taping and you want to get on the replays, then we are in syndication. We're on the, I can't call it the actual program, but we will post it on the page, because I'm thinking of like 7 different things right now. I know it's iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. We're there on Facebook. We're trying to be everywhere that you will click and you could possibly be. So, you know,
that's
we appreciate all of you. Yeah, we appreciate all of you for listening, tuning in, turning on. You don't always have to join the conversation, but as long as you listen and support, we here at the Voice of the People greatly appreciate you. So,
and
you know.
And drop that number one more time. Who knows? Maybe we've got folks listening today, maybe somebody from Arizona, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, maybe they've got something going on in their part of the world that they would just like to share with the rest of the listeners. So drop that number one more time, just in case anybody's listening and wants to call in the last 5 or 10 minutes. Maybe they've got something going on in their world of entertainment. Maybe they're a musician. Maybe they're an author. Just got something they just want to let off their chest for a second or two about what's going on in the world, because we do love hearing from folks about what they've got going on and letting them get it off their chest. So if you'll drop that number one more time, and then I've got to give a one more shout-out to a sports team that did a great thing right here in the Triangle area after you give that number one more time, because I definitely want to give them a shout-out before we get off the air.
Well, that number is 646-668-8393.
And the people that I was going to give a shout-out to is, I don't know whether you follow minor league baseball or not. They have won this before, but they did do it once again. But there's a team here called the Durham Bulls. Yes, that is the same Durham Bulls that a movie was made about called Bull Durham, or at least there was a fictional movie called Bull Durham about them based on an actual player and some actual things that happened. But the movie was fictional. But the team is right here in the Durham, North Carolina area. They took the title and won the Governor's Cup, meaning that they will play the team from the West Coast, I believe, later on this week to determine whether they are the Triple-A champions of the world. But they won at least the East Coast part of that, which is what we call the Governor's Cup. They won that this past week, and now they will go and face the team from the Pacific Coast to see if they can be the world champions in terms of minor league baseball on that level, the Triple-A level, which is the one right below the majors. So they have definitely made a major statement. They've done it before. They've won multiple times, but was glad to see that they did take that championship and won the Governor's Cup.
Nice. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, and I also need to give a good shout-out to my good buddy, and I'm going to have him on the show very soon as well. But, what you know, anytime you go to a minor league baseball game, and I did not make it to one this year. I do not know if they're going to play any of the International League Championship at the home base or not. But if they do, I'll try to make it to that. But, you know, most of the time when you go to a minor league baseball, there are multiple announcers. There are the announcers of the actual pitches and balls and the day-to-day, the regular action of the game. But, you know, most minor league games also have side entertainment. It might be running the mascot, running the bull, what they call running against Willie the Bull, and it's usually a kid racing Willie the Bull, or it might be people dressed in sumo wrestling and things of that nature. And my good friend Jatobi is the voice of that. He is the voice of those contests and those little side things that go on at the ballpark. And he is actually organizing, I believe it is this month, so we might have him on in the 1st of October after his event is done, but he is organizing a video game competition. So that's right, if you're into video games and you want to get involved in that, I believe that it's all on the Durham Bulls website. If not, you can find Jatobi McDuffie on Facebook, but he is definitely putting this together. So if you think that you are the king of video games and that you can whoop, you know, those different Call of Duty games or, you know, the fantasy, maybe football or whatever other games, because he's got a multitude of games that you can compete against. This is your chance to prove that you are the champion of the video games.
Hey, sounds interesting.
I know you got some friends over there in New Jersey that are ready to make that trip. I know Ty's got some friends in Hawaii that are ready to make that trip to prove that they are the true champions.
Maybe, man. Maybe.
We can have him on after the competition so he can talk about that. But I believe the competition is coming up in about another week or two. So I'm helping him get the word out. So I just did that on the show, but I'll do it on some other avenues as well. So like I said, if you think you've got those skills, then go ahead and make your name known to the world of video gamers and things of that nature. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And I'll post it on our page, and I'll throw maybe a list of even some of the games so that some of our listeners can take a look at that list and be like, yes, that's my game. I'm good at it. I'm ready to take them on.
Right.
Right. I'll definitely post that. And I'll also be posting some of the music of the Bluegrass folks. And like I said, we will reach out to them and find out what happened in terms of getting them on. But we will definitely have them on our upcoming show. But we're going to make this an abbreviated one. You got any final thoughts as we make this an abbreviated version of the Voice of the People? And then, like I said, hopefully we'll hear from our good folks and we'll be ready for our full show on next week with all of those wonderful people. Who knows, maybe some of the Bluegrass cats. Otherwise, we'll save them for early part of October. But you got any words of encouragement or words of thought to the fine folks that are listening?
The only thing that I really have is, you know, regardless of what you may think, there are people who agree with you. There are some who do not agree with you. But without basic respect, there is no unity. So, you know, let's start there with the basic respect. And once we get to seek first to understand before we can be understood, and maybe we'll get somewhere.
Exactly. We definitely have to have a greater understanding of those that are on all sides of the issues. That's one of the things that you can hear the Voice of the People is that while we may agree on certain issues ourselves, myself and Dean and Ty when she joins us, and some of the other folks as well, there are other times that we do not agree, and we are not one of those folks that think that you have to only be uniform in our beliefs. We like to hear from all kinds of folks. As a matter of fact, I'm even going to be bold and say, if you're one of those people out there, because, you know, he did get elected, if you're one of those people out there that loves Trump and you want to call us and tell us why you voted for him, bring it on. We'd love to know. We might not agree with you, but you can bring it on and you can tell us why he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. We might laugh at you afterwards, but you can still bring it on.
Yeah, because I like sliced bread. Yes, but that's our time for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Voice of the People with Dean Geronimo and Mark Lee. 7 o'clock on Monday nights, blogtalkradio.com. We will see you next week.
See you next week. Have a great one.
It could be the point of let take off. It could be the point of
it could be the better.
Point of let take off.
Oh, one more time.
It could be the point of let
third
take off.
Third time's a charm.
It could be the point of it could be the point of let take off.
No catch 22. Point guard left.
It could be the
scare money, don't make money. Be your own boss, make more than they make from you. Gotta lose old friends, cause some of them cancerous. Let go and make different moves, everybody can't dance with you. Know that you pray to God, make rooms to answer you. I chose to leave Cooley High, but I love him, we family, bruh. Gotta leave home sometimes, see from a different view. Let go of control sometimes, and watch how some others move. Everything is a chess game, I learn how to play well. Let go of them lame dudes, peace out the whack females. Go get you a real one, so you learn how real love is. My people said, go ahead, I'm on it like Kim Fields. Facts, 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 facts. These are the facts of life. If you get it wrong, let it go so you can get it right. The point of letting go, the major sign is from the start. It's because God wanted us to sign with the rock.
It could be the point of let take off. It could be the point of, it could be the point of let take off. Oh, it could be the point of let take off. It could be the point of, it could be the point of let take off. Oh, it could be the
your ego gonna hold you back. My ethos was in burritos from 76. Got a lot of hood in me, that's why the hood love me. Ain't grew up in the hood, but I learned from my play cousins. Play with the boys when I was growing up, boy. Can't listen to reason if you still stuck in the noise. Well, I feel like I'm Roy Williams, trying to ram all of my boys up in a big truck. Drive niggas, let go of outside niggas. Outside niggas, it's a big, big world. Letting go of your past might extend your life by years. Look around, you ain't gotta let go of rounds to get around them. Switched up my goals, threw them off to get around them. I'm airing where the pack is at, I'm moving up a lot, yeah. Airing out distractions to focus on my errands. I'm so arrogant. New destination when I get up in the air again.
Point of let take off.